Yes, you can make money, but you could have made a lot more money if you focused and drilled down like in one thing and become the absolute best at it.
Welcome to the High Voltage Business Builders, a show where we interview entrepreneurs growing and scaling their income through e-commerce and showing you the path to make your first or next million.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
What is up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, brother from another mother?
Good, good, good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad that we got a chance to have this conversation. It's been a while. I don't think you and I have done a podcast style format like this yet together. Anyways, so I'm excited to talk to you about what you're doing, what's going on, how's life out in the Greek Isles, being a what are you, like a coffee shop hostess now, or what do we define you as?
Yeah. No. Still a digital marketer, trainer, consultant, like whatever. Like host, not anymore. Not like I'm not definitely not a host.
So you just moonlight at the coffee shop. Is that what you're telling me?
So I'm pretty much helping my wife with this because it's her first business.
Okay.
She was really supportive when it came to helping me with my own business, with all the traveling, with the kids, et cetera, et cetera. So I wanted to do the same for her and support her. And here we are. But the digital is digital, man. It doesn't change.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, I was thinking back before this call about our history together. We walked through some interesting things over the last, 6 years now? And I was kind of going back in time and trying to figure out when we first connected, and it was in person, which doesn't always happen as much these days, the event in San Diego in 2016, which, man, dude, that feels like a lifetime ago, doesn't it?
True. But man, it was one of the very first events that I was invited to speak. We had like a great time. San Diego is a fun city. You were a great host and the whole crew there, all the people, like it's all about the vibes and it's all about, you know, meeting good people. Sometimes we get in our own little bubble and we think that, oh, it's me and my computer and I do the work. But there are real people on the other side of the line on Messenger, on Viber, or WhatsApp. And
all that social stuff. Yeah.
It's really nice when you get to see that and meet real people from all over the world that you see that you share a lot of the same values and there are ethical persons and you get to learn a lot and you get to share a lot as well. Yeah. So that's amazing.
Well, it's good to have that connectivity in a world where so much is questioned about the legitimacy of everybody behind these windows and screens and the little bit of cynicism or criticisms we might get, you know, in reality. But I'm glad to, you know, my goal here has been to bring the real people who are, in my opinion, high voltage business builder into here and give them an opportunity to chat and get people an opportunity to really see the real people who are doing the real business, who are clearly not on the world of in my opinion, and knowledge and experience with them, any kind of scammer or fake person. So when it comes to the Google Analytics side and the tracking and management of that, you are one of the best that I know. And so I'm glad to have you on here today to extol some knowledge and kind of unpack a little bit of the topic of tracking and Google Ads and that whole opportunity, right? So let's get a little background from you real quick on who you are for people. And then let's preface that by moving into what you're doing now and what somebody might be able to learn from this call today about tracking and management and Google AdWords.
Absolutely. So I did get started. I started to be an accountant. I worked for 5 years in various companies and I really hated every nanosecond of it. And I was always trying to figure out what else is out there in the world. I saw so many people online crushing it, making money, living the dream life. So probably 12 years back, I typed in the magical keywords, how to make money online. One thing led to another. Back then, it was affiliate marketing by writing articles and forums and stuff like that. So I was learning a lot. And then Facebook ads wasn't so popular back then. I'm talking about like 12 years ago to 2010. So I started with Google. Google ads, it was much, much easier. We literally, especially in Greece, where I'm located, born and raised here, it was really easy to dominate, and for me, it was more like a game rather than the actual job that it was earning me money. I started from a small agency I was working for, then I jumped into a really big agency. I started looking at clients, even for Greece, like spending $300K per month is a big amount of money. And then I realized the importance of tracking and Google Analytics and where does the user go and why did he leave? Where did he click? Where did we lose him? So that was a huge, huge learning experience for me. And then for the past 7 years, I decided to take the leap of faith. And for the past 7 years, I've been traveling all around the world, even before Corona, actually, to talk about Google Analytics optimization. I started with small clients, and then the small clients became bigger and much, much bigger, actually working with clients doing up to $100 million per year. And this is where you get to understand that analytics and tracking and whatever platform, it's not only Google Analytics, but whatever platform that you're using in order to track, like even if you improve on a company that does $100 million and you improve just 3%, which is an average, let's say, percentage, okay, it's $3 million. So there you understand that even the small changes can make a really, really big impact. Yeah. So for the past 7 years, I've been focused on conversion rate optimization, Google Analytics, tracking, paid advertising, especially when it comes to e-commerce, but also with some big lead generation companies as well.
Yeah. Now, those aren't familiar with you, there's a phrase in the behind you, trust the beard. Where did that come from?
Oh, man. So that started literally as a joke a couple of maybe 4 or 5 years ago, where I always had in mind that, okay, I do things a little bit different. Everybody was talking about the dropshipping world and only focusing on the front end. How do I get the sale? And then they would move out to go ahead into the next one. So I was always jumped in and I wanted to make something memorable. So I had the beard. My beard was much, much longer and like a triangle. And then my hair just like that. So I do have that accent as well because I'm Greek. No matter how good English I can speak, I can never phase out my accent. So I started talking a lot about analytics and guys, the real money is being made on the back end. And here's how we do it with this client. And I started sharing case studies and stories. And it started as a joke like, oh, trust the beard. And I really like that. So every time I started posting, I was like, trust the beard, trust the beard, trust the beard. And then it became a thing without me really having the intention. Like the joke became like who I am. So pretty much like follow the advice. It's a brand. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a brand and it's actually funny. And I'm thinking through it as you're talking and listening and going, you know, you can't ever shave that off. If you shave it off, you're going to have to figure out how to like glue paste one back on or something because your whole brand is going to like, you should actually have a whole brand of beard oil products for like Greek men like this. I could see this like Greek men bulked up with the beard thing. And it's like, you know, beard oil for men. Like I could see that being a whole brand with your face like smack. Have you ever thought about building your own brand?
Yeah, I've thought about it, but it's all, honestly, my mind is always full of ideas and planning and implementation and stuff like that. But when it comes, one of the biggest lessons that I had to learn the hard way, it's like the power of focus, because you can make, I believe that there are so many people around in this world that they're not having the results that they want because they're always distracted. And maybe I want to do an Amazon brand and then I want to do a software as a service. And then let me build an agency, let me build the course. And then I did that event.
Yep.
And yes, you can make money, but you could have made a lot more money if you focused and drilled down like in one thing and become the absolute best at it. So yes, it was
focus
a thought.
Focus on one
but,
course of action until successful, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I get that. And that's why, I mean, obviously you've had your business for quite a long time. We've hedged in our business for now almost a decade. You know, the hedgehogs of good to great, as I like to joke. And what I love about these kind of conversations and someone like you is we stayed connected for so long. The Friedman really wrote the book on this, and the world is flat, right? The communications technology and stuff will level the playing field. So there's a lot of objections to whether or not people can do or focus on certain things because of those problems. What are some of the problems you focus on facing for clients that you're working to resolve for them?
So mainly we get to focus on the conversion rate optimization. So we like working with really, really big brands that they're already spending a considerable amount of money into advertising. And we all know that a lot of that money goes directly down the drain, either because it takes so much more time for a website, a store to load, and people, they don't have the patience. We either have, do not have the patience, or we get to work and get surveys and get to see where people are dropping off. Is there something stopping them from buying today? So we can get started with a Google Analytics audit, where we get to see, okay, what is the data that we have right now? And let's see, what are the users are doing? Are we getting any spam traffic? What is the page load time? Where people are coming? Are they using mobile or desktop? If they're using mobile, not every mobile device is being the same, yep. Right? Differently, people convert on an iPhone, different on a Xiaomi or whatever. So where are they coming? How many people are adding to cart? Where are they dropping? Okay, and let me start with a hypothesis. What if in that point of the funnel, what if I change this, or I add a testimonial, or I add a telephone number, or I add a chat support? Like, what will happen? Will we get to see any increase in the conversion rate? And this is the whole process of conversion rate optimization. Like, yeah. You don't need to increase the money that you're spending right now. Just make a few changes. Sometimes
yes.
All you need to change is like a headline.
A tiny little two millimeter shift in that movement, exactly. As we teach our people with listings and traffic. If you're getting sales, if you are getting clicks, if you're getting visibility to it, but your add to cart or your, in our instance, we called unit session percentage on Amazon, which is a conversion rate of the internet world, isn't matching. It's 2% and should be 10%. You know, the little shift, one tiny little title change, one little image shift, and watch and track the results. We have to do it for 72 hours. You can do it, I'm sure, in a matter of hours due to traffic demand differences in the way we measure things. But at the end of the result, that one little change could jump your conversion rate, you know, 10 times, right? And without tracking it, you have no idea what was positively made. We constantly criticize people like, don't touch things more than one time. You know, wait for 3 days, see the positive impacts or negative impacts, change it back if it's negative, you know, leave it if it's positive, right? It's hard to be patient though, isn't it?
Oh man, like, and you're talking to a really impatient person. So this job—
I wasn't accusing you of anything.
Yeah, I know. But this job honestly made me realize that I need to have like patience in life, relationships, friendships, because I'm a really impatient person. So I had to be taught that thing. Also, there's another thing that we get, because if you think about it, it's not only people tend to blame Facebook ads. Oh, Facebook ads don't work anymore. And it's the iOS 14 and Facebook ads or whatever that is bullshit. So yes, right. Things right. Have changed a lot. Okay. But it's easy to blame Facebook ads when your offer is shitty. So they, yes, Facebook ads,
that's so true.
they cannot turn a bad product into a good one, and they cannot turn a good product into a bad one. Okay, vice versa. The thing is that you need to understand that there's a whole process. It starts from the traffic. Traffic, Facebook ads, Google ads, Pinterest, whatever, TikTok, they can only send you clicks. You need to be selling the click. People try to make the sale directly from the ad, and that's a big mistake. That can happen. Yes, sometimes that can happen. But even if you get 5% of the people to buy directly, what happens with the rest 95%? Like, supposedly, you paid money and you know that these people are targeted. So 95% of the people, and if you're lucky enough, 95 and not 99 or 99.5% of the people, they're not getting to get any action. So we need to be looking at the traffic. This is why we handle Facebook, Instagram ads, and Google and YouTube ads as well. We need to get to see what people are doing on the actual website. So we also have like people that we can get help from the copywriting, from the design process, okay, strategy, and then get to realize that, okay, there is a gap there. And also realize that the real money is being made on the back end. Okay, SMS marketing, email marketing, these are two crucial things. So realize that this is a whole business, a holistic business, that we need to take care everything, the whole customer journey, even after long they've purchased, like with thank you notes, direct mail,
calling them. Journey right there. I'm gonna I want to double click on that for just a second, not to interrupt you. The component of that you were talking about, which so many people miss on that customer journey, what do you think the indicators are that causes someone to miss that? I think, I have my opinion. I want to hear yours first, but what causes them to miss that specific customer journey points and that they should be paying attention to?
I think it all comes down to impatience and like just getting to get quickly, get the money, see, okay, how much money am I spending? Okay, I spent $100 today. I made $200. Okay, let's move to the next one. Unfortunately, we have a lot of entrepreneurs that I get to respect, obviously, because you got to respect the hustle, that they started from the dropshipping world. Okay, and the dropshipping world, what they taught them is like, oh man, it's like really easy. You get to spend money on Facebook ads. And then if something works, you scale, and then you go to move to the next product. So what I'm seeing is that, unfortunately, a lot of people are being impatient with that, and they only focus on one traffic source, and they don't get to see that, what I said earlier, that the real money is being made on the back end. Another thing that I notice is that people see only one traffic source and nothing else. People see and say, oh man, I got like $1,000 in sales. And I'm like, no, you dummy, you didn't get $1,000 in sales. You got 20 different people that they bought your $50 product, and those 20 different people, they have different wants, needs, they're male or female, they have kids or they're married, they're gay or lesbian, they believe in Jesus or they are Muslims, they're fat, short, black, white, it doesn't matter. And you need to respect them for who they are. And this is why we get on the phone. And I'm like, hey, this is Dimitris Kiadas calling from Trust the Beard. I would like to know how everything was with your purchase, if you were happy. Like, you get to learn a lot just by calling people and thank them. Mm-hmm. You get to learn a lot.
You have to be willing to listen to that, though. You have to be willing to get the positive and the negative aspect, and potentially be confronted. Like, you have to be willing to face any positive or negatives. And I think people will initially feel fear of picking up and calling their customer because it may not be a good experience, right?
Yeah,
there's a fear from that, really.
But the thing is that you get to learn so many good things from the people. I'll share with you an experience that I did maybe 2 or 3 years ago, because I like to experience things myself before I get to outsource it to someone else, a team member or whatever. So we had the local brand here in Greece, and then people were abandoning the cars. I'm like, okay, let me call them. I didn't have a script. I knew pretty much what I was going to say. So I was like, hey, this is Dimitris Kiadas calling from trustthebeard.com or whatever. We started seeing that you started the order, but eventually you didn't purchase. You didn't complete your order. Like, something happened. And I just made like 10 phone calls. I spent like 20, 30 minutes just to do that. And one guy told me, oh man, like, I regretted buying. One guy told me, oh yeah, I was doing it, but I was on the road and blah, blah, blah. One woman told me, oh, I have no idea. Maybe my mom did it for me and I have no clue. Someone else told me, hey dude, can you please call me in 5 minutes? He never picked up again. But also I saw 4 people that said, dude, I tried, and your site had a problem. I'm like, okay, where did you try? I tried with my mobile phone. Okay, which browser? Safari. And indeed, we realized that we indeed had a problem with mobile Safari. So not only I took their orders via the phone, and completed their orders and got like $220, $230 worth of orders, but I also get to learn that I had a problem that I couldn't realize. So what I'm trying to say is that when you put on your marketer's hat and you put in the work and you get to realize that these are real people, that they are trusting their money with your brands or with your service, whatever. Like, maybe you have a software as a service, maybe you have coaching services. Like, no matter what, you need to be super grateful to those people, because those are the people that are putting bread in your family's table. Again, you get to learn a lot from them. This is my opinion.
No, man, that's great. Very well said. It just summarizes the conversation about having a customer journey in which you actually understand the avatar or the customer profile and then have a conversation with them. I was actually talking about this today, yesterday at a 3-day live summit with Merchant Words, group and their software as a service customers who are also Amazon sellers. And one of the things we talked about was very much in line with what you just said on the Amazon side of the world, the other component of another, you know, e-com channel, but it had to get down to understanding the customer avatar and the journey, putting yourself instead of a consumer buyer into a seller buyer, into a position of mindset in which you're like, what is this person actually want? What are they experiencing? What is a value to them? What is a purpose? What is emotionally driving them? What solution are they trying to solve that my product can solve for them? And thus, I know who they are well enough to know they need this product. I want to serve them with this product first. And from that, I will gain something emotionally, physically, spiritually, monetarily, financially, or otherwise. Once this person goes, yay, I love this. I love it. I think it's great. It's more than, it's better than. You'll see the reviews come, the products come. And so many people miss that, like getting caught in the mechanics, which you just unpacked a minute ago in terms of the whole drop shipping Facebook mechanical world. Like, that's just push, burn, burn, push, burn, burn. Never really understand what a customer wants. It's pure profit, in my opinion, pure capitalistic model. That's why I really never got into it very hardcore. I've always been interested in the brands and stuff because that model is just a purely capitalistic driven model of just profit for self. And how long does that actually work in your experience? Not very long in mine.
It doesn't. It used to work. This is why you see, especially nowadays, a lot of people that have a trouble into getting something to work, something that maybe a couple of years ago, it used to work really, really well. So if you're serious about not only commerce, but any business, really, you need to get to understand how consumer psychology, you need to get to understand the whole customer journey, and you need to get to understand that the real money, it took me a while to understand this as well, because I was only focusing, okay, oh, drop shipping, let's make quick money, scale, scale, scale. But you need to understand that the real money is being made on the back end. And it's easier to have like a range of products that you can sell again and again. So probably I wouldn't get to start to sell a mattress company where I can make some good money because like 1500, 2K for a mattress. But if the same person probably is going to need another mattress like in 10 years or something like that. So I always try to think when I start a business, when I consult a business or something like that, something similar, I try to think, okay, what is the chances of the same user buying again from us? Okay, become a customer again and again and again. So don't focus only on the front end. Okay, even if you lose money on the front end, and I remember saying this exact phrase like years ago, 2016, 2017, and people would look at me like, what the heck is talking about? But even if you lose money on the front end, it shouldn't matter. Your goal is to sell to those people again and again with email marketing.
What are you talking about, losing money on the front, man? That's sacrilegious in the online world, man. You can't do that. You can't say that on this podcast. No, I'm kidding. There's so much truth, dude, to what you're unpacking. Literally, there are so many topics in here in my mind. I'm checking off as like another episode, because each of one of those, we could spend 30 to 60 minutes unpacking each of these topics, and there's been a bunch of them. So, dude, would you be willing to come back and do another episode with me in the future and start unpacking each of those?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Cool, man. Well, thank you so much. Any parting thoughts and words you want to share to somebody who might be listening today who's thinking about tracking and analytics and might be on a Shopify store funnel or et cetera, looking at it going, I don't even know how to track and manage and move my conversion rates. What should they initially be thinking about today?
So I would say, because obviously Google Analytics is a never-ending thing, you need to always keep optimizing, and the enemy of the better is the best, right? Or the enemy of the good is the better, how we say. But the thing is that if I would have to say just one thing out of this whole conversation, is like, take care of your site speed. No one will wait 8, 10, 12, 15, whatever seconds for your website to load. So your website, your store, whatever, your funnel, whatever that is, it needs to be loading in 4 seconds or less. So if you're thinking of hiring someone to get to either consult you on how to do it yourself or to get it done, highly, highly, highly recommend it. Don't get cheap on it, like $200, $300, whatever is the amount, go spend it, because people, they don't have the patience to keep waiting for your website to load. Okay, they will go to the next one. If they do not have the emotional connection,
That's amazing information. You got to get a hold of them. We know there's like the less than 7 seconds now of time to actually grab somebody's attention. And if that website is not loading in less than 7 seconds, you don't even have the 7 seconds necessary to grab their attention before they move on to the next website. Dude, this has been fantastic. I'd love to keep going. We will come back again, as you said, to another episode and keep going with this. I owe you a pound of baklava. So hang with me here shortly and and we'll be back again later.
Thank you so much.
If you like this episode, please share it with people you think will enjoy it as well. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in next week for a brand new episode of High Voltage Business Builders.